And so some of the, you had mentioned, Rhonda, some of the gunshot detection, but can you give us that and some, maybe some, a little bit more about that, maybe some of the other examples of the initiatives?
Yes. So in the city of Atlanta, we have our Smart ATL program, and this slide highlights three of our kind of premier programs that we're running right now. We have the ShotSpotter IoT program, and I mentioned that a little earlier. It's actually a sensor that sits on our street light, and it can sense the sounds of gunshots in a 5-square-mile area, and we've partnered with one of the local universities, Georgia State University. Their criminal justice department is actually analyzing this data for us and plotting it in, you know, maps across the city so we can see where to better deploy our police resources. We also have our Georgia Power Smart Node program, and Georgia Power, or the Southern Company, is our electric utility in Georgia, and they have partnered with the city for, again, putting sensors on some of our traffic signals and our streetlights that collect data related to weather conditions, weather patterns, and also camera feeds, so we can actually see in real time cars moving up and down the street and pedestrian traffic, so we can kind of start to gauge in that North Avenue corridor the different patterns of movement, and it's helped us to work on our traffic signal program and making sure that those are all aligned and efficient along that street. And that same node collects, again, the gunshot information. And then our Rubicon project is really a fun one, and we've seen great results in reducing our fuel usage. Rubicon is an app, and it tracks our recycling trucks throughout the routes in the city streets as they collect the various recycling materials from homes. And it has shown us, you know, information about the households that actually recycle, the frequency of those households putting out recycled materials, and then where our trucks need to really be going, because if you have neighborhoods that aren't really recycling as often, the trucks don't need to be circling those neighborhoods. And that's why I was saying it, you know, it really helped us to get great insights into our fuel costs for our recycling program.
And I'll just interject if I can for just a second. It's something that's really interesting about these examples. The first one is efficiency, right? So as a you know, recipient of public funds and somebody providing a public service, you know, you want your city to be efficient, right? You want that to you just want that to happen, and that's in everybody's best interest, both from a cost perspective and from a quality of service perspective. So, you know, why wouldn't you put these kind of systems in place? And one of the things that comes back, and we'll talk about this a little bit more later, but it, of course it's about, well, it starts to get kind of creepy. You talk about the nodes and like, well, they're doing sensors, or there's these lampposts that are recording data about people and sounds. And, you know, sure, that is happening to some extent. But if you look at these three examples, nothing really creepy jumps out at you. You know, these are three examples of sort of, you know, concrete implementations of technology where, you know, gunshots are being measured, you know, for a purpose. I think you mentioned, Rhonda, that sometimes the gunshots aren't actually aren't really indicative of a crime, right?
Exactly. Yeah, it's a really good point, because around kind of some holidays, you might have just what we've coined celebratory gunfire, which is, you know, in my mind, just a little nuts, but it does happen in our jurisdiction. And so you can see that very clearly in the dashboard, where you have spikes in kind of the sensors hearing the gunshots. And then we have to dig a little bit further to understand, is that really an indicator of criminal activity related to, you know, potential harm to individuals? Is that a different kind of activity that we need to understand? So we have seen some data like that really sheds more light on what's happening. And so if we were, you know, getting increased police calls on certain holidays because of gunfire, like, is it truly that something's happening, what's behind that.
Right, right. And you could see, I'll be a little devious, like you could see where somebody could try to mess with that system too. They could be like, well, look, let's put a lot of gunfire over here in this quadrant of the city while we, you know, divert resources over there. So, I mean, there are dangers with any kind of a system, but it's certainly... The other thing I thought was interesting is the collaboration that you see up here, right, where the Georgia Power or the Georgia University, you know, doing, on the one hand, you've got sort of research and development resources, and on the other hand, you have sort of a lot of data and infrastructure resources sort of coming to the table to help make things work. It's on a large scale, and to do things right, you need those kind of resources brought to the table, which I know you'll talk about a little bit more later.
Yeah, we'll definitely talk some more about that. But even before Elaine gets into some of the initial considerations that we have to think about with these partnerships, that's a good point, Bart, because a Smart Cities program is built on partnerships, and those partnerships have to be strategic. We have made it a point to work with the universities in Atlanta, Georgia State, and Georgia Tech. Without those researchers, without the professors and the students who are interested in really analyzing the information that we're sharing, our program just wouldn't work. And those researchers and research partners have been some of our best partnerships that we've had.